come to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 877-711-5611. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
I'm Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. You can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at fncu.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. We're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. Podcasts and previous shows available at mightyhouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on homeimprovementusa.com. Find links to all of them at mightyhouse.net. Video clips of the show are available at mightyhouse.net and on our Mighty House YouTube channel. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com.
And I noticed your lovely Mr. Floor t-shirt.
Yes.
It says established 1987.
Yes.
Which was the year I graduated high school.
Wow. There you go.
Class of 87.
See?
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Nice. We were talking about trade shirts over the break.
Yeah.
And
gimme shirts. That's my wife can't stand them. She hates them.
You know, it's funny. My wife loves them because otherwise I'm going to wear my Hawaiian shirts, which I wear everywhere else, to do construction.
Yeah.
And then they're like permanently stained with like caulk, silicone grease, all that kind of stuff. And so she, when I started, you buy enough product and the reps are all like, hey, take some Milwaukee shirts, take some Boss shirts, take some A.O. Smith shirts. She just started. She loved it because then I was like not completely messing up all the clothing that I'm supposed to wear to respectable, you know, like parties and stuff.
Right. Well, it's just the piles of them that I have that she gets irritated. So if it's got one little hole in it, she goes, rips it up. It goes in the rag.
It just got comfy.
Yes,
it just broke in.
That's right.
Oh, I got some great Bear shirts.
Oh, see?
And then my wife decided that they were so soft that they should become a bed shirt for her.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, where did my Bear shirt go?
Yeah, sleeping shirts.
It's comfy. I took it.
That is true. All right. Nice. If that voice you're hearing is not Robbie Earhart, although it is Ash Nissan standing in for Robbie Earhart. So
yes.
We appreciate your time today.
Literally.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. It's always fun to have you in.
Thank you.
It's always fun.
I love being here.
Get to joke around.
Absolutely.
You know.
With a couple of regular guys. And, you know, I grew up
in find out about his garden.
Yeah, I know.
You now found out about my two hobbies that I don't know. It's not that I try and avoid talking about them. They just don't normally come out in conversation. We're talking about, you know, real estate and construction and that's all fun. But like having Mike here,
I
was
like
so
giddy,
excited.
Like a little girl.
I
was unbelievable.
See, I'm okay with the like you were happy that he was here. The like a little girl. First off, I just want to say to all the little girls out there, go be construction workers, be powerful,
yes,
and don't listen to this like Neanderthal. So I was giddy. I do love.
He is just like Robbie. Just talks right through the whole.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Tip of the week.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not going to get a minute of this.
No, you're not.
That occurred to me at the end of the segment when I was being played out that I have to learn the flow if I'm ever going to get invited back. I'll try.
Should we do the tip of the week and let's see if we can
try.
It. Yeah, let's see if we can get this in.
I just need to be trained up.
Ash, it's always fun, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, it is a pleasure to have you in here.
Hey,
thanks.
Can you turn up the turn on my board? Is that possible?
Nice.
Let's try this again.
Is this one of those cool construction songs?
Okay, Sparky.
There Perfect. You go. Tip of the week. It's yours.
There it is.
Right?
The Your Name Here tip of the week.
Correct.
So this week we're going to talk about real quick is window and door sign-offs. So anybody that's ever bought replacement windows for their house, gone to a box store or a lumber yard and bought windows or doors, you know, you walk in there and, you know, you got to get in there. You're going to pick everything out. And sooner or later, they're going to ask you to sign off on them. So the sign off, you ask, what is it? Well, it's when you commit to accepting whatever they deliver, regardless of what's in your mind's eye. So seriously, so you've been sitting with a sales rep and maybe you're at the material counter at a box store. You've made the selections. You know, you want the white windows or you want that new mahogany door with the long window in it. And you've been telling the person about your dreams of the new white window or mahogany door. And they've been writing things down in code. For example, a long window could be LW66. Or a white window, the long window would be the LW66, or a white window might be WW3066CM. You don't know what any of that stuff means, but right. By the time they total it up and they ask you to sign for it, it's yours. So the point here is make sure that you understand everything. Have that person read and explain every notation. And I guarantee you, it's boring. And it takes a couple of minutes. But here's the thing, you know, remember that window was WW3066CM?
Yep.
Well, that stands for white window, 30 inches by 66, and it's a casement, which is awesome, except every other window in your house is a double hung. It needed to end in DH. So that's my point. Yep. But if you signed off and they delivered that casement, it's yours.
Right, because they're going to say, well, you signed for it.
Exactly.
Right? You approved the order right here.
That might be why a homeowner might want to hire a contractor.
No,
in all seriousness, because as a contractor, we have a little more leverage over the supplier because we buy enough product from them and we say, but wait a minute, we talked about a double hung. I'm sorry you wrote the wrong code down. You're right, I signed it, but...
Well, that's you could try that, but it... doesn't always work.
Oh, sorry.
But the other side of it is, you know, the box stores would not be in business today if people only hired contractors to have windows and doors put in. But since the big three seem to do quite well, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of people buying them themselves. So,
yes.
You know, and remember that long window we wanted into the door, the LW66 for the new mahogany door?
Right.
It's clear glass and people can see right in because did you ever ask for rain glass? No. So that's my point. You have to be very specific about what you want. Also, watch when you're ordering some windows and doors, you have to watch the swing. So the swing can be called out differently for every company. So, you know, you got a right hand, left hand, out swing, in swing. And I was always taught butt to butt. So you
right.
close a door, stand with your butt against the hinge side of the door, against that outside of the door where the hinges are. And if the hinges are on your right, it's a right hand. If they're on the left, it's a left hand. And that's how I was taught. So you can have a left hand outswing. Okay. Then when you go to your lock sets, if the lock sets aren't reversible, like a lot of them, like Baldwin Brass is not, then you have to know how to order that because that's a left hand.
Or right hand.
That could be a left hand or right hand reverse bevel.
Yep.
Because your back set, you can't turn them around. So, and that goes into then prepping a door for hardware. The typical centers from deadbolt to doorknob is 5 inches. Your setback for your deadbolt or for your back set standard for an exterior door is 2 3/4. Interior is 2 3/8, but you can do custom. So again, there's so many variables with this that please make sure you sit there when it's time to sign off on that new door or window. Make sure they draw a picture of your door stating inside, outside, and show the door open and the swing line, which way it's opening. Don't just take what they hand you, sign it, and give them the check because it could be wrong.
Yeah, no, and the other the bore is real important. Do you want a deadbolt? Don't you want a deadbolt? If you're ordering a steel door and you get it with a deadbolt and you don't have one, you know, now you got this hole in the door.
I always thought it was funny to get a 15 light
versus
door.
Mortise.
A 15 light French door, big old piece of glass, and put a deadbolt on it.
Right.
To keep the honest people out.
Right. Yeah. That's right. What locks are for. That's what they do, right?
Yes. They keep honest people out.
Well, and then there's a reasonable question, you know, like for the buildings we do construction on, we'll often specify a grade 2 or better lock. So, you know, oftentimes we'll just put in Schlage. But and actually we had an issue with Baldwin because we spec'd Baldwin for a project And it turns out that the Baldwin kind of middle series, which I think is called Reserve, is it's all pop metal. It's like a quick set, you know, like the garbage quick set with a Baldwin like cover plate on it.
Nice.
And I brought them made
for the big box stores.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but they sell. I mean, they sell them elsewhere. But so Baldwin doesn't make its full line for in cast brass.
Well, that's the problem with all of them. And when I was up north, all I used was Schlage. And Schlage, it seems like they have changed. And everything down here, we use M-Tech, which I never heard of M-Tech till I came down. And all M-Tech makes a great series.
M-Tech and Assa Abloy.
All right, cool. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I'm gonna find that sad finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 877-711-5611 and get advice from the experts themselves.
This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. You can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611. And you will have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com.
.com.
There we go. All right.
Robbie is monitoring us through Facebook, just so you know.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, she's stalking.
Uh-oh.
Did she hear me call her the clutter goddess?
I don't know.
I probably not, but she's got Oshner with looks like 4 or 5 exclamation points. I can't. Yes, 5.
I'm sorry. She's cursing about me now. I'm sure you all.
No,
are.
I don't know. Well, there was no emoji like
nobody,
smiley face.
Nobody
or
gave
face,
me training.
So
that's the problem.
No training for this?
No.
Osh, where you been? It's, it looked like this is not our first melon patch, and yet has anything gone like we're veterans? You think this was our first show ever?
We're just like you walk through that plate where they got all the bumper cars and the balloons that bang into you all the time. Yeah. And we just walk down through the middle and we just keep bounced around and eventually we get to the other side 3 hours later.
Well,
that's how it works.
My excuse is, you know, it's like that first day on a new job site where like, you know, you're one of the subs and you got to figure out how who's running the site and how it's being run and what, you know. So. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the problem. The guy at the top middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not exactly iron fisted. So kind of lets things kind of roll.
Yeah, that's
nice.
It. That's it.
So, yes.
You know how you talked about
Ferrari versus Cadillac versus, you know, the Ford when you're talking about HVAC equipment. Well, we do the same with the radio show. And we're not a Ferrari of production, but
no.
But we're good at this. We like it, and we like the actual.
I'm just trying to learn Ron's hand signals. I'm pretty sure one of them is shut the up.
that's this.
I got that on the last segment.
Wrap it up.
That's wrap it up.
Wrap it up, and then
this we never get. We never get.
Put a stopper in it.
The stretch we won't get, but this you'll get too.
You're going to a break.
See?
Okay. See, I don't know. I'm like Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. I see nothing.
That's right. It's all good.
Okay. Let's go to the phones, and then Trixie will be very happy with us. Who do we have? Okay. Let's go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on. We got to push the button there, Trixie. Come on. Come on. There we go.
I rest my case.
See, Osh.
I rest my case.
But that's because the
most shows have a call screen.
Control room lord is out on a smoke break or something.
Yeah, he bailed on us. So at least now we don't.
I'm here.
There you go. Good job, Trixie.
I'm here.
Excellent. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're on the air.
In the last month, I've had 2 flipped houses that I've inspected, and they decided to cheapen up their windows by using double hungs as sliders.
No.
Oh, yeah.
So they took a double hung and installed it sideways.
Yeah.
So how does that
two places I've seen.
How does that work?
How does that drain?
Well, Yeah.
It doesn't, because the drain holes are, you know, are sitting up on the
on one end.
Side.
Yeah.
On one end. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it, one of them actually had spring packs in it, and the spring packs were all full of leaps and crap and everything else, and they
sure would
barely
be.
Worked.
Oh.
So I think the earlier discussion, just to sort of separate what you're talking about from the earlier discussion, was just a question of like grade of window, not idiot doing work he has no business doing.
Right.
So like, you
this
know,
fits
right.
in the hole.
Oh no, I don't think these were idiots. I think this was slider cost $100. Single double hung or a single hung cost about 50.
Right, yep. Right, but
we're cutting corners.
But we're still. The last part of that was the problem, right? It's one thing to cut corners by saying I'm not going to put in an etched Marvin, you know, $1,000 window versus a $100, you know, whatever, you know, whoever it is, vinyl. And that's different than skimping and on putting improper materials. So we still have to. We came up on one site where they had completely rehabbed a two-unit building, and they literally did not put conduit in the walls.
Oh, yeah.
And so
we never do.
Right. Yeah. You probably were at least running Romex or something like that, and not
THHN.
Yes,
Romex is legal where I
right.
Am,
yes. So building to code is still a requirement, and that would violate that precept, right? So clearly they didn't pull permits because it wasn't inspected. And I also want to just kind of separate that like whether or not you pull permits, you still have to build.
I don't think there's anything in the codes that require you to install windows correctly.
Nope.
It just says you have to have light and vent.
Correct.
So you have to have 8% light in each room and 4% vent. And even a double hung window installed sideways meets code.
Yes.
Now, is it good building practice?
No.
Nope.
But it doesn't have proper drainage, right? Because
it doesn't matter.
As he was as Jeff was talking
technically,
about.
Technically, I don't think it really matters. I don't think it falls under the inspector. I think if the inspector was key on it, he could flag it, and I would think they would. But technically, there's nothing.
Are you kidding me?
I've had inspectors flag stuff where like it met code, and they just didn't like it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, the code. My read of
page
the code,
3 says.
Yeah.
They get ultimate say.
Yep. Right. So what were you going to say there, Jeff?
The code inspectors, they walk through with their checklist, and if it looks halfway good, they'll pass it. They don't. You know.
It's depending
on the day they're having. You know.
It's health and safety. That's all they're inspecting.
I think it depends
for.
On the municipality.
And they don't go open every single window. So if you walk by a double hung sideways cased out in a wall, you're going to walk by it going,
sure.
It's a window.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not till Jeff goes out and opens every single window, and I do that on our QC walks. We operate every single window, look, make sure every edge is painted, blah blah blah. Unless you do that, I could see that getting by.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, sure. But. Absolutely.
Well, just like you can install a window and case it out properly, but if you never shimmed it, the sashes aren't going to operate right.
It'll make it through the warranty period and be in until you sell the house though.
Yeah.
Well, and we talk about that all the time. When it comes to replacement windows, you want to make sure you hire reputable companies, because I could give you the best performing window, install it poorly, and it will not be the window you paid for. You know what I mean? I can make a great window bad, or I can make a junk window perform better by installing it well.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that was my 2 cents. So I just want to let you know.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for your 2 cents, Jeff.
All right.
Talk to you.
All right. Bye.
You were talking about window warranties. A good friend of mine, Tony Mitchell's a retired builder, and he always says, six sides of a door, you got to seal six sides of a door, mm-hmm. or you'll void the warranty.
Oh yeah,
right.
So guys who fail to take the door out of its frame
off
the jamb and seal the top and bottom are just causing problems for their homeowners.
Right. And that's when it expands and contracts. It starts to stick. And during the summer, it doesn't open. And during the winter, you can't get it to latch because it's...
I always kind of get a kick. If you go into, again, go to the box stores, whatever, and you buy pre-hung doors or pre-finished doors,
mm-hmm.
top and bottom usually are not finished.
Yep.
Right.
You know, and it still says right on the top, this got to be finished or else avoid the warranty. Like, I bought them pre-finished from you.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing I learned from Tony was... Sand the printed material off the top of the door
right.
before you seal it, because then it's for sure like It's not there. The markings aren't there anymore.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly it. So, and then we got an email this week too about Windows that we answered. So, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the first hour with Ash is, she wanted to know what kind of window she should get. You know, should she buy a vinyl window? Should she buy a fiberglass, a wood? What kind of window should she get? So, I'll throw that out there. It starts out with budget. Where do you want to be?
Absolutely, it does. I mean, a vinyl window, there's nothing wrong with a vinyl window if it's constructed with a thermal break and so on. And you can install it properly so that it's protected.
Right.
So I think I saw that email, and maybe there was a response that included a shout out to that local company, that Climate Guard.
Mm-hmm.
They're a local Chicago area interest.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you guys were shouting out.
That was Felco.
Felco, okay.
On the email. But part of the gist of her email was because they say buy one, get one free. She's like, is that a legitimate offer? It's not an offer. I like to see it get advertised ever because you're not getting one free. You're paying twice as much for the first one.
Yes.
Right. But so I would just go back to the base of your question, though, and say it depends. Okay, the budget is one factor, but it should only mm-hmm. be one factor. You should not be putting $100 an opening windows in an $800,000 home. It's not a thing. Like, people don't expect laminate countertops in an $800,000 home. They don't expect, you know, $100 an opening vinyl windows, I think.
Unless it's in a basement, maybe.
But, right, right. Yeah. But,
or it's being built out in Will County.
That's all
junk is out there.
Yeah. Send all Will County hate mail to
rich@mightyhouse.net.
I have big shoulders. I can deal with
it. Yeah.
But really, really, the hate's not for the homeowners. It's or for Will County, which is a lovely county. It's just for the builders out there.
Yeah,
I know. One of my best friends is a plan examiner there. So. But no, and you're absolutely right. So the price point does matter. And I mentioned this earlier. So we built an education center in my office, and I carry the three levels of windows. Now, we don't really use vinyl. We use a PGT product. It's like fiberglass, but we use all impact glass as well. But then I can get you up to the Anderson 400 series impact, and then I can go to Anderson architectural series, in impact. And you're talking huge differences in price points. I mean, just to go from impact glass to low E could add $50,000 to the house here.
Yeah.
Now we got lots of, my average window order is $100,000. So, I mean, but it's a 50% upgrade.
The impact glass is spec'd because of the area that you're in. For the most part, you guys are broadcasting in the Chicago metro area, right? And so that's not going to be spec'd in this market.
No.
You also have a lot of concerns in this market with solar heat gain. So as the solar heat gain coefficient is a thing here, right?
Yes, and actually, that's where you're absolutely spot on, because this is something that most people don't realize. You need double or triple pane because of your weather swings.
Right.
Here, my temperature varies 20 degrees a year, and it's only 20-degree difference from inside to outside.
Oh, wow.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. You can join us on Facebook Live right now, brought to you in part by First Northern Credit Union. First Northern Credit Union is the only community credit union in Evanston. Visit them at FNCU.org to learn more about the benefits of a credit union membership in your community. And you can give us a call on the Mr. Floor helpline. It's 877-711-5611, and you'll have a chance to win your choice of Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And if somebody wanted to sign up for the newsletter, Rich, how can they do that?
Oh, you just run right over to MightyHouse.net. Go to the contact page, my first, last name, email address, click on submit, and every Friday you'll get an email just with the newsletter, just letting you know what's coming on Saturday morning.
There you go. Boom, done.
Or at least what we're going to attempt to do on Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that number, 877-711-5611 for all the new listeners out there.
But I think the best part of the newsletter,
yes,
to go on and ramble,
yes,
is I put links for all of our guests, their products, whatever they talked about.
Yep.
So they're all there.
Yes.
Now, actually, had I known Osh was coming in, of course, Osh, the North, what is it,
North Side Home Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the North Side Home Guy. There would be a link in a newsletter for him.
Right.
Nice.
There would have done, had I done my job correctly.
Nice. It's okay. Mm. Okay. I was busy making him wait for me to show up on an appointment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right. I got a nice nap in. It was
nice.
Good.
Nice. So I want to shout out the National Fenestration Rating Council.
Who?
National Fenestration. We were talking about windows. So
okay.
I just want to shout out NFRC. They, you know, if people geek out on windows and want to understand more about performance,
okay.
You know, what is solar heat gain coefficient? You know, how,
U-value.
What's U factor? Yeah. And how mm-hmm. does U factor can convert to R value?
U equals one over R.
Right. So, you know, just to get a sense of, you know, what you might be buying if you're out in the market and trying to source it yourself. So you can know.
Bottom line is you want a window that's like U 0.30 or lower, because unlike insulation, the lower the number, the better.
Right.
And what people don't realize is you put R20 in your walls to give you a nice insulated wall, and then you put a window in that's R1.
Nerd alert!
Yeah. I think I have a blog up there for that, too, on our website.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, a good window might be performing at like a 0.27 or less.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who else? We buy a lot of product out of Lee Lumber here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good door and window supplier for us.
All right. Okay, cool. Let's go to
Sandwich.
Nick. Hey, Nick. You're on Mighty House. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
So I know Mike's not there right now. I'll have to call his show tomorrow, too. Got to put it on the list.
Yep.
You were talking about trees and tree selection and all that, and One of the things that you got to remember is proper place, proper tree species and all that stuff. But you got to make sure you plant it properly too. A lot of the trees in Chicagoland area and all over the place are not planted properly. They're pigs. They're put in ground.
What?
Big hole, stick in ground, buried.
So you dig a hole, you bury half of the root ball in the ground. The other half sticks up, and you just pile on
mulch
and stuff on top of it. That's how you do it, right?
Exactly. You got to get as much extra crap on there as possible.
Right. So
no, anyway, I want to bury the crown, right?
Oh, man, you guys are listening to Mike Novak a lot. That's awesome. No. You want to see where the tree, where the trunk becomes a root, ideally, believe it or not. And most of the plants that you get, most of the trees you get, are already planted too deep due to the fact that they came that way from the nursery. You know, the nursery units, they have a tendency to put them in a little bit deeper than they should. And dig them up, put a little bit more soil on it, and just keep compounding. And, you know, 6 to 8 inches is not out of the ordinary to have that amount of soil removed on occurrence on trees that are out here, especially in the parkway. And I see it, just that bulbous mound right there. It looks like a clove of garlic or something like that.
Yeah.
Sticking out there.
Uh-huh.
So stick it up. Certainly not the way to do it. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you're doing those. I mean, you could plant, you know, down or Edgewood, and that'd be great and all, but, you know, if it's... If it's just put in the ground, you know, then it doesn't do anybody any good. So you want to, because that causes so many problems. What ends up happening is that extra soil allows roots to reach up into there where they're not supposed to be and wraps around, as well as the moisture. Moisture affects the trunk. You know, the trunk, the cells biologically, the wood cells that make up the trunk wood are different than the ones that make up the root cells, and so the root cells are designed by nature to be, you know, touching the dirt and all that. The trunks are supposed to be, you know, free, clean of dirt. So, you know, if you have a chance, sometimes, you know, the more arboretum has a pretty good, you know, look at the look at the base of the trees. They're in pretty good shape, and their mulch rings are remarkably wide out to the drip line. You know, the drip line is where the leaves stop, and that is, it seems absurdly large, but it actually is a good, you know, just being a home show, it's like promoting a healthy home. Is the tree lives in a healthy home. You know, if you have a nasty home, you're going to get sick. People are getting sick. That's why all these trees get diseases and things. A lot of those diseases can be prevented.
We've been taught, you know, when we started doing this work for clients, like, you know, a $50 tree goes in a $100 hole. In all seriousness, you get taught the process, but you know, like, you know, the diameter of the hole should be twice the diameter of the root ball, and that way it gives those roots time to relax, and you know, you might
somewhere to go.
In some cases, you might have to prune the roots when they're going in. Into the hole, but you know, that it's learned experientially by, you know, by getting taught by people who know.
Yep. Well, I appreciate the phone call there, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you. Bye.
And then if you wait long enough, you can cut the sucker down, turn it into boards.
Yes.
And put the stuff in your house and then paint it.
Nice. I want to say I did like the workmanship on that whatever that.
Okay, going back to, I think it was hour one, yeah. Rich built a, it's like a, what do you, it's a headboard.
Just feature wall. Yeah.
And then you push your bed up against it, right? Isn't that what it's for?
Yeah.
So it looks like it's a built-in headboard. It's pretty cool looking. So people on Facebook were upset, though, because he did this great woodwork, and then he painted it. I'm sorry, he faux finished it to look like it was weathered wood.
Yeah, but see, like the other one, I did two of them, and I only posted pictures of the one, but both of them are transparent stained. So the thing is, it's, again, because it's cypress, it's not a heavy grain. It's almost like using poplar. It's made to paint. You stain it, it stays monotone.
It's not
like oak or maple or walnut that gets beautiful. Like those, if I did it with maple or walnut, I would have just clear coated it.
Right.
Yeah, and then they'd be happy.
Yes.
I think you're a pretty successful major contractor. I don't think you have to defend your design choices.
No, but I have to sometimes figure out how to make the designer stuff work.
Right.
No, I mean the woodwork was lovely. I'll say as a form of opinion, I wouldn't have done a faux finish, but I happen to like the way natural wood looks, but you know, other people like that style. I mean, it's its own thing.
Here's the thing, though.
Like I said, I'll send you the other ones. But if you look at the before picture and look at not the workmanship, but the wood itself, there is no graining. There is no coloration, really.
Sure.
There's no character.
That's what I'm saying. If you stained it, it would just look like a light, transparent paint.
Right. Well, and if it performs anything, you said it's sort of similar, it's your version of pine. If it takes stain like anything like pine takes stain, pine always looks like terrible,
blotchy.
Yeah.
And you know what, and it, you know why? That's because nobody ever reads the can properly. You're supposed to, raw pine, you put sand sealer on it, and then you sand it, then you stain it. Everybody thinks you put sand sealer on after you stain it. Well, then the damage is done.
You're
if you
right.
put sand sealer on first, it will cause the stain to absorb more evenly.
So that,
and you won't get that splotchy effect. I fight with my painters all the time. I'm like, dude, you're not a painter. You're an installer of finishes.
Yeah.
A painter would know that.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I think going back to your headboard thing, if you look at the craftsmanship and the way it was put together, you know, so somebody, you know, took a lot of time, Rich, to do all this, make all the miters perfect, everything looked great.
Yeah, no, it was lovely.
And then you throw paint over it, which means you could have just caulked it all. You didn't have to do all that.
I think that's it. It's sort of like that you take the workmanship to this level, and then it sort of feels like you're right. I could have.
Yeah.
You know, I
could have used MDF. Well,
right.
You know, and
but see, down
no,
again.
No, I went, I'm sorry. I'm gonna be like a complete whatever, like a Nazi about that.
Right.
Like I hate MDF. Like use real wood always, even if it's pine or poplar.
No.
Why?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. If you're gonna do large crown moldings, baseboards, and things like that, the MDF is much more stable.
Yep.
Where we move to, I do nothing but 11-inch tall baseboard, and sometimes it only has a chamfer on 11-inch tall, and we put the outlets in the baseboard.
Yep.
Wow.
I get rid of all the wall clutter. We do all the lighting control systems, so I have a 6-button keypad. I don't want four switches in a row. So right. I don't do anything more than a two-gang box.
Okay, hold up, guys. Hold up. Kathy, you there?
Oh.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead real quick.
Oh, this is Catherine?
Yes.
Hi, Catherine.
I called about, the information. I didn't get it like this morning about the condo for a management person.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. You got about a minute and a half there, Osh.
Sure. All I was saying was that you should look at your needs for the condo association. So what do you want them to do? Do you want them just to maintain the grounds? Do you want them to take the homeowner's dues and pay the taxes and do all that accounting work? It's a question of what the scope of work is, how much you want them to do. And once you know that, that'll sort of give you a sense of the types of companies that you might want to hire. And there's a list, and some offer more services and others offer fewer services. Right. But
let me tell you, we have somebody now, but they're in my book, they're just hopeless. Have you heard of broad shoulders?
No.
Their shoulders aren't very broad, though.
Yeah. That's what we call rich, that. We call rich that, but that's different.
Oh, you do. Okay, that's fine. All right. But Rich knows everything, and so does his brother.
Well, feel free to give me a call directly, 847-644-9177. 847-644-9177.
And we'll be back right after this. Hang on a second, Catherine. Hold on. We'll be back right after this with Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
You see this hammer in my hand?
Yeah, I want to find that stud finder. What does it look like?
And a level.
What is a level?
Don't you know what a level is?
Yeah, it's something you advance to in a video game.
It's Mighty House. Call Mighty House now at 877-711-5611 and get advice from the experts themselves.
This is Mighty House.
All right, we're broadcasting worldwide and live, mightyhouse.net, tunein.com. We're also on the Gab Radio Network. Just look for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And you can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And one last thing here. Let's see if I can do this one better than Mike Novak. Probably not. Everyday mistakes are made by untrained employees and unlicensed contractors who take advantage of homeowners who are looking for a good deal and to save a few bucks. Roofers and Waterproofers Local 11 contractors put their customers first by employing men and women who go through extensive hands-on, classroom, and on-the-job training. The difference between a union and non-union contractor is the fact that a union contractor is a contributing contractor, which means the union contractor invests in his employees, training, family health care, retirement, and professional standing in the industry. So if you're looking for a contractor to choose, choose union labor and be a part of the solution.
Well done.
All right. Not as good as Mike Novak did, but it's close. It's close.
You'd be fine.
Yeah, that's it. So I want to say thanks to Catherine for giving us a call there. A short straw.
Nice. Short straw.
Can I get a mic on Osh?
I had Novak's mic still open.
Ah, see, there
Classic.
You go.
Classic.
No, yeah. I was reasonably cut off. I think that's that happens at the bar, too.
That's okay. It's enough. Stop. All right. Cool. So with that, dude, that's it. 3 hours are done. Boom. Just like that. That's it.
Wow. This has been great. Well, I mean, great for me. You guys are probably like, okay, time to go.
No, it's been fun having you in. I appreciate you sitting in for Robbie.
Thank you.
Robbie will be back next week. She had a funeral for her, the pigeon she found, I think. So. So once she's fully recovered from that, you know, from that loss, she'll be here.
And not a moment too soon, really.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Right.
So that's the way it goes. We appreciate you sitting in.
Thanks,
it's
brother.
Osh Nissan, the Northside home guy. And your information again?
Is Osh at dreamtown.com, or you can just go to northsidehomeguy.com and start your home search. Or just call me straight away. Just give me a call, and we'll get it done. Whatever you're looking for.
Okay, let's talk about this real quick because we only got a few minutes left. What's the market like right now? Is this fall market look like it's going to be stellar, or should we wait till spring to be putting stuff on, or to start looking?
So these last 3 years have performed in. So we've talked before, if you guys have listened before on the show when I've been on, we've talked about micro markets and different asset classes. So is it a really expensive home in an expensive neighborhood? Is it a more of a working class neighborhood? Is it an entry level home? All those things matter. But if we were to sort of shorthand it and try and do a broad brushstroke, in the last several years, the spring market has been much, much stronger than the fall market, even than it had been traditionally up until that point. So if a job isn't, you know, taking you out of town or something like that, if it's an elective move that you can flex the time frame on, selling in the spring is seems to be the preferred. Assets are performing better in the spring market.
So
if you have to move in the fall, you have to move in the fall, and that's just life. And you know, it's a matter of preparing the home properly and pricing it properly in light of kind of that what's going on in the market at that time.
And if you put it on the market in the fall and then you leave it on all winter, is that going to look bad then when springtime comes around and people are going to say, oh, it's been on the market for 120 days?
Well, so yeah, I think hurts. I'd want to have that conversation with my owners and say, if you have to leave, maybe we do a short-term rental and just not have it on the market all winter. Or you can always, you know, frankly, improve the price. Like, you know, if you've done the proper preparation, which means like, you know, it's basic things like decluttering and washing the windows inside and out and having the furnace or air conditioning service, depending on what time of year it is, and making sure, you know, all the bulbs are this,
working?
You know, you're not mixing soft white with cool white bulbs and they're all working and all the light switches are working and don't look like they've had grimy hands all over them. You know, just like the basic, like a deep cleaning, which includes the windows, a landscaping, making sure the mechanicals are in good working condition, all of those prep things and decluttering for sure. So when it feels like you're living in a hotel, you've decluttered enough.
Wow.
I mean, it really is that kind of dramatic because you want people to walk into a space and feel like, okay, the space is generous. I can fit my family in here. And you might consider a fence if you don't have one.
So you know what though? Let me go back to this, and I was going to do this real quick here. But so Ryan had a house that was for sale. I take it, and you recommended a fence, and he didn't want to do the fence. But then you had people looking at it who wanted the fence.
Yeah. So it didn't have a fence, and it didn't have a garage, and because it didn't have an alley, and this was one house in from an end from the end of the block that and the other house faced the other way, that faced onto the other block. It wasn't as defined as you might think it would be in a, like if you were in the middle of a block on, you know, on a normal rectangular lot.
Yeah.
And so it really, the space looked very undefined. And because you couldn't sight a garage on the back of the lot and you couldn't tell exactly where the edges were, that was the two chief complaints were no garage and where the hell does the yard end?
But see the neighbors, but the neighbors, wait. The neighbors were really cool and would let you run around, and you know, the people that were renting it, they'd use their backyard too, so it left it more open. And those neighbors didn't care if you.
But
used
this
their
is
backyard.
So now we're having the vinyl window conversation again, which is to say,
no,
that
not
like,
exactly where I was heading with this is that if you had a legitimate offer as one of the sales concessions, you could have had putting the fence in as one of the.
Yeah,
this is not our first ride at the rodeo. Yeah. We did offer that.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is people go, oh, darn, there's no garage. Oh, and wait, which is ours and which isn't ours? And I don't want my dog running into the neighbor's yard, or what if the neighbor's not nice and there's no fence?
Okay, but would him having installed that fence increase the value of the home or its marketability?
It would have increased its marketability for sure.
Yes.
Would lower his margins, thus no fence.
Yes.
I go through this all the time with designers because everybody wants us to put plantation shutters on all the windows.
He carried it longer. He carried it and he had longer carrying costs. And the only reason why this ended up working out is because I happened to have another set of clients who were doing a major renovation on their house that I helped them purchase in Evanston. And so then we moved them out to Morton Grove to put them in his space so that it was at least turning rent during that time. So we did a short-term lease and that all worked out. And so this is like way in the weeds. I want to say in general, you know, cleaning, painting, you know, working mechanicals, decluttering, those are all all things that are important. I was just teasing you about the fence. I didn't mean to get in the
weeds. Brother, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
That's what we're here for. I tease you about it. It's
absolutely.
So we walked into a building yesterday, looked at it. I go, I know, no fence. I know. That's the first thing out of my mouth. I know, no fence. We got to put up a fence.
But the fence of the guy next door was awesome.
And a great one.
And it was stained.
It was stained. All right. We got to take a break, and we'll be back next week again. You can follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse. Next week, we're going to talk to Carla from Evanston Rebuild Exchange Warehouse. She'll be in here to have it. And we'll also have another tip of the week and clutter clarity. In between that, we'll be taking your phone calls. Thanks to Mike Novak for stopping by, and Peggy Malecki. And they're on tomorrow from 9 to 11 right here. So check them out. And Osh, again, thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Osh. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Osh. Appreciate it.
It's always fun having you in here.
Thanks.
You take the ribbings well. You give back. What more
could
you ask
for? Well, that's
it.
It works.
What more could you ask for?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Regular, bunch of regular guys.
For Rich Cowgill, Robbie Earhart, I'm Ron Cowgill. Keep it square and level.
Until next Saturday.
If you have any questions during the week, you can always post them on Facebook and Twitter. Join us next Saturday for more home infotainment. Mighty House is a Square and Level Media production. Mighty House.